So tonight we're going to learn about Jeremiah. Yeah. And his name is actually pronounced Yirmiyah.
Yirmiyah?
Yeah, it's like Y-I-R-M-E-Y-H. Yirmiyah. And it means whom Yahweh has appointed. It's actually the word Jeremiah is used 150 times in the throughout the word of Yahweh, which was, I think, very significant also. And we'll do a little focus in on this map. And so you're going to see three different kingdoms. And that's Assyria, and that's Egypt, and that's Babylon. And all these are going to be players in the life of Jeremiah. Tell me when you got it.
Just give me a second.
And you can get this on the website in Volume 4 of Telos. And so if you look at Jerusalem as the head, you know, as a framework, then you can look at what else is surrounding it.
Will you point to Jerusalem?
Yeah, I don't see it.
It's...
Yeah,
I'm going to have... crack.
Okay, but they can see it. It's, you get the bearing straight. Okay?
Okay.
You got it?
Jerusalem's right above Judah on the Babylon.
There's Judah. That's going to be Jerusalem. And then you got Jerusalem over here on the. And so it's very important to realize what Jeremiah actually did and the problem that was happening to the civilization. Mm-hmm. So we have a, kind of a concept of what was happening. That gives us to understand that their problems that they had, why they lost and went into servitude for 70 years, and we can learn from that same situation and the victories that they had too, and the steadfastness of Yirmiyah, which is Jeremiah's name. So we'll begin with Jeremiah chapter 1, page 712.
Page
712 in the Old Testament. We're going to read 1 through 3, and this is going to show you he's going to be ministering in five reigns of Judah kings. And so he does around 41 years of reigning.
Could you give me the chapter again?
Chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, unto whom came the word of Yahweh in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. So that's when his ministry begins with Josiah. We're going to do a review on Josiah. And it's Josiah's 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, as far as the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. That gives us a big history and layout of what we're going to be discussing. Now we go to verse 4, and here is Yahweh talking. And one other thing, too, is people are, the quote-unquote Christian church is always saying, well, the Holy Spirit said this, and the Holy Spirit said this, and the Holy Spirit gave us the word. And you're like, just read the scriptures. And so verse 4 says, so then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying. Now, where did you see the word Holy Spirit any place into this? Mm-hmm. And this is on and on and all through the word. So why people say, you know, interject this last little period of a few verses when you have 1,000 clear verses. But so the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, behold, I formed thee at thy birth, I took knowledge of thee, and before thy nativity I hallowed thee, a prophet to the nations I appointed thee. And most people would be, great, right? Hmm. Not in the time period that Josiah is living. I mean, most people are thinking a prophet is being celebrated, aha, because you're kind of exalted. You know, so today the apostles and prophets are on the top of the chain, you know, when they think about it. But that's not what's happening. So his response is, then said I, ah, my Lord Yahweh, lo, I know not how to speak for a child in mine. And so they're thinking he's probably around 20 years old. Usually under 30 is ministry. And ministry usually begins at age 30, so he might be 21, 22. So it kind of shows you his life. Then said Yahweh unto me, do not say, a child am I. It's like, here's your job. For against whomsoever I send thee shall thou go. Is that an option there?
No. Mm-hmm.
And whosoever I command thee shall thou speak. And that's the same way with us. Now we got to have such boldness that I'm only concerned about pleasing one person. And that's Yahweh. And the rest of you, you can love me or hate me, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I've just got to cut that relationship. I'm trying to please this guy. This is the big picture. Yeah. What I'm looking at you is the little picture. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces. Why would I be afraid of their faces? Because you're going to say things they don't want. For with thee am I to deliver thee, declare the Yahweh. I will deliver you. So there's a promise. Okay, you're being commissioned. And that'd be like in the military. You're being commissioned. So a great illustration. Now we're going to go to the time period that he's living in, which is, we're going to start with Manasseh, which is his grandfather. His great-grandfather is Hezekiah. So we really got, we're talking about Josiah now. He begins in Josiah's reign in the 13th year of Josiah. So Josiah's father is Amon. And then his grandfather is Manasseh, which are two terrible people. And his great-grandfather, his great, is Hezekiah. And so let's just look at what these building blocks. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 33, page 464. What this guy is getting into. And the same way with us. And sometimes we think our situation is tough in the United States. Let's just look at their situation. So, and did they come out of this? Yes, they did. You know, they got spanked for 70 years. And they deserved it. It made them really think about the things. It's like a time out. Why don't you go sit over there for a month? And it really makes you think about the sin that you made.
Take a knee.
Yeah.
70 years.
So 33 verse 1 through 4 is Manasseh. Now Manasseh, 12 years old was Manasseh when he began to reign, and 55 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Now let me ask you this. His father is Hezekiah, which is a very righteous man. So how could a 12-year-old go wrong? Because he doesn't know any of this.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't really have the lust of the flesh as maybe a 20-year-old or 18-year-old. It had to be his advisors.
Right.
You know, so think about this. So Hezekiah, really righteous when he's gone, I still got wicked people who are going to be training my son. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh according to the abominable ways of the nations whom Yahweh depossessed from before the sons of Israel. And he built the high places which Hezekiah his father had thrown down and set up altars to the Baalim and made sacred sims. And you know, this is really what Trump is doing right now against Obama. He's tearing down what Obama built, in the best word. And that's the Democratic Party. And bowed in prostration unto all the army of the heavens and served them and built altars in the house of Yahweh to which Yahweh has said in Jerusalem shall be my name unto time's age abiding. 55 years. Now, you think we got bad with Obama for 8 years. Think of having somebody in charge for 55 years. Now that's somebody's whole life. Jeremiah had to be alive at this time because Jeremiah is probably 20-year-old when he starts. In Josiah's reign, in his 13th year. So we know he's older than Josiah. And Amon, his father, Josiah's father, only reigns for 2 years. So now that means you're 15 years old. And so he probably raised at least 5 or 6 years in the kingdom of Manasseh and Amon. So now we go to, 33:10. And this is where, kind of build a backdrop again. There's two kingdoms. There's Judah and there's Israel. And that's the 10 kingdoms. Israel, got taken captive by the king of Assyria about, 8 years after Hezekiah's reign. So they're gone. And so your buffer zone between Assyria, look at your map where Assyria is, and the capital of Assyria is Nineveh. And we all know about Nineveh, so the top is Nineveh. The difference between Assyria and Syria, Syria is north of Jerusalem, its capital is Damascus. Assyria was huge. Look at its kingdom.
Yeah.
They were pharaohs.
Egypt.
So these Assyrian kings also were pharaohs of Egypt at one time. Mm-hmm. And they had Babylon. They just had everything. So this guy took out the Israel because of their wickedness. And so they're taken captive. And now their buffer zone between Hezekiah is now I'm directly in contact with Assyria.
Yeah.
Now we know when Sennacherib came on, which is in chapter 32, you can read about it. He surrounds Jerusalem and Yahweh comes, Hezekiah is righteous, and Yahweh comes and sends an angel and wipes out 185,000 of their men in one night.
Yeah.
Whoa. And that backed Assyria up about Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah really had a great reign because that information has gone out. And that king ends up dying by his own sons and other kings take his place. But that's the Assyrian kingdom. They're still there. And so now Manasseh's in charge. And look what happens to Manasseh. Assyria comes in verse 33, verse 9 or 10. And Yahweh spake unto Manasseh and unto his people, but they did not give what?
Ear.
Ear. So Yahweh brought in unto them the captains of the army that belonged to the king of who?
Assyria.
And they captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him captive with a pair of bronze fetters and took him away to Babylon. So that shows you that Assyria was running Babylon. Because we know Babylon is famous for who?
Nebuchadnezzar.
That's Chaldeans. That's not the Assyrians. All right?
Was this before or after?
But yeah, no, this is before. So they've got, and I've got a great paper on this. The whole history is in volume 4, and it's called Jeremiah. And there's like 8 pages of going through all this history that's done through some Hebrew sources I have on the book of Jeremiah. So it gives you a great history of the different kingdoms and the shifts and how Nebuchadnezzar's father, who was a captain under the king of Assyria, ended up overthrowing Assyria. And there's a revolt through Nebuchadnezzar, and they actually overthrow Assyria at a later time, which we're going to see. Oh, but he was taken off by, you know, the king to Assyria, and then he was let go and come back again. And he corrected a little bit of his ways. But that's Manasseh. Now we go see his son, which is Amon, which is Josiah's father. In chapter 33, verse 21, and Melania read 21 and 22.
22 years old was Amon when he began to reign, and 2 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, as Manasseh his father had done, and unto all the images which Manasseh his father had made, Amon offered sacrifice and did serve them.
That's Josiah's dad. You know, and his grandfather was just as wicked. Now we get into Josiah, and what we're bringing to Josiah is obviously Jeremiah is intertwined in all of this. So let's go to Jeremiah, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1 through 3. And Elijah, you want to read this?
Okay. 8 years old.
We're going to stop there. Who is 8 years old in this room?
Esther.
Esther,
she's
stand
the
up
king.
For a second.
Esther,
yeah. You stand
over
up.
Here.
Yeah, President of the
United States. Yeah. She's going to be the king or queen. Look at the camera so they see how big you are. She would be the queen of Jerusalem, of Judah.
Bow the knee. Bow the knee.
That's the age of Josiah. 8 years old when he starts. So now start over again.
8 years old was Josiah when he began to reign. In 31 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he did the thing which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And in the 8th year of his reign, he began, yet a boy, he began to seek unto...
He's 16 years old.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he began to seek unto the Elohim of David his father, and in And in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the sacred stems and the carved images unto the molten images. And they threw down before him
that's
the
right.
altar.
We'll start at 3.
Yeah, wow.
And Jeremiah comes in on his 13th year. So he starts cleaning the house in the 12th year. And Yahweh now goes into Jeremiah and say, I've got a job for you. And remember, he always tells Jeremiah, you're going to be protected.
No matter what.
You're going to go into heat of battle by yourself. Yes. You know, how many people will be out? No, I got you covered. Go out there and just spit in this guy's face. That's like the biggest guy there.
You want to Hillary Clinton's house?
Yeah,
Hillary
Clinton. Syrians are nasty people anyway.
Yeah. Oh, now, he's going to do it not to the Syrians. He's going to end up doing it to the king of Israel.
Wow.
You know, the king of Judah. Yeah. You know, I mean, so this, because I have some words to talk to these guys. I'm going to put them in their place. Get up there and say this to them. What a guy, Jeremiah. No, what a bad break. But we know he had 18 years of peace with Josiah. So that's a good point. He starts in the 13th reign of Josiah. Josiah goes 31 years. So that's 18 years that Jeremiah is being part of the Josiah ministry, which is really great. Now, what happens to Josiah is in chapter 2 Chronicles 35:20. That's a sad story. But look at your Egypt, right underneath your Egypt map. And this important thing about Egypt, this is good too, really had two capitals. One was Memphis and one is Thebes. And that's how you say that, is Thebes. But as you just saw, Egypt went up right past Jerusalem, didn't they? It's the yellow. Mm-hmm. It's Egypt is over here. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
This is Egypt, Egypt Empire. Look at the yellow. That's all of Egypt. And there is the Mediterranean Sea on your left. And you see that, Melania? You look at the map?
Yeah.
And so they're running by Jerusalem. So this guy's going to fight the king of Assyria, and he's going to go right by Jerusalem. And here's what happens. Let's see. Where are we? Okay, 35:20. And after this, when Josiah had prepared the house, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. So Euphrates is right at the top. Can you see the Euphrates? And look at the Assyrian. Look on the right. You'll see the Euphrates out there below, and then just follow it on up. Yahweh gave the Israelites from the northern Euphrates down. That was their border, the Euphrates. When they're going into the land of promise, I'm giving you from the Euphrates down. Not to the Euphrates to the right, but just up there. So that's where they're going. Verse 20. And after this, when Josiah prepared the house, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went forth against him. But he sent unto him messengers, saying, what have I to do with thee, O king of Judah? Not against thee have I come this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. And Elohim had given word to speed me. Cease thou from provoking Elohim is with me, lest he destroy thee. Howbeit, Josiah turned not his face from him, for to fight against him he had disguised himself, and he hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of Elohim. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said unto his servants, take me away, for I am sore wounded. So he dies, which is sad, because look at it, he's 8 years old, he reigns for 31 years. How old is he? 39. He's younger than he's dead. And it was a great guy. This guy missed it. Doesn't mean he was saying he just missed it. But he just got him now. It was Egypt, not the Assyrians. Now it's coming from the south. Because the Assyrians are waning in power. And look what Jeremiah does in verse 25. And Jeremiah chanted a dirge over Josiah, and all the singing men and singing women in their dirge had spoken concerning Josiah unto this day. And they appointed him by statute for Israel, and there were written among him the dirges. So there you see Jeremiah in that particular situation. Now we go to 36:1, and here's the other family. So we know Jeremiah was in the reign of Josiah. Jehoahaz is only 3 months. Really doesn't count what you're going to see. Jehoiakim, 11 years. He's important. Jehoiachin, 3 months. Not important. And then we go into Zedekiah, which is 11 years. And this is who he's going to be reigning amongst. Now, 36:1-4, and the people of the land took Jehoahaz, son of Josiah, made him king instead of his father in Jerusalem. 23 years old was Josiah when he began to reign, and 3 months reigned he in Jerusalem. That's it. And the king of who?
Egypt.
Of Egypt. And so it's not the Assyrians now, it's the Egyptians. And Judah's not very big. Now, look at these kingdoms. The Egyptians, and look at the Assyrians. I mean, and you're just riding, you're on the road of where they're going. And verse 3, and the king of Egypt deposed him in Jerusalem and condemned the land to 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the king of Egypt made Elohim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name Jehoiakim. But Necro took Joahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Okay, so there's our scenario we're going. This guy's gone. Jehoiakim, 36, verses 5. 25 years old was Jehoiakim when he began to reign, and 11 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, his Elohim. This is the guy which we're going to read in the book of Jeremiah. When Yahweh gave a prophecy into the scroll to be read to the king, when he was reading it, he started cutting it up and throwing it into the fire. That's Jehoiakim. He is a bad apple. Look what happened, though. In verse 6, against him came up who? Nebuchadnezzar. Well, where did you come from? Now, look at that. Where does Nebuchadnezzar come from?
Babylon.
From Babylon. Look, that's our left count, you know, the blue one, Neo-Babylonian Empire. You see the Babylon on the right? You see Babylon?
Yeah.
Okay, they've got to go all the way up. You can't go from east to west because it's a desert. So they have to go north up to Assyria and then come back down to Jerusalem. So we just saw Assyria take out
Babylon to Assyria.
Manasseh. Then we see Egypt come and take out Joash, and now we're seeing
the Babylonians
coming in and taking out Jehoiakim. And so Assyria is gone by this time. So Babylon has taken over Assyria. And so now you start seeing their income, and that's Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
So the Assyrian kingdom is now all falling apart. Nineveh has fallen. And that's a Chaldeans. So 36:5-6.
Who's a Chaldean?
That's Nebuchadnezzar. It's a Chaldean. So Chaldeans, on the right, you've got the Chaldeans, which is Babylon. Then you have the Persians, the Medes and the Persians, which obviously are farther south, which is Susa, or Persians. And then the Medes are up, you see Media is up in the mountains.
Is Persia Iran?
Yeah.
And Babylon's Iraq?
Yeah. And so right now, yeah, Babylon's Iraq, and yeah, Persian is Iran. So you got to get an idea of what's happening. So in verse 5, 25 years old was Jehoiakim when he began to reign, and 11 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he did the thing which was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in feathers of bronze to carry him to Babylon. Who else did he take with him? Now we're going to see Daniel being taken. Mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being taken. Probably Mordecai and Esther were probably taken from from the Assyrian, put into Persia, and sometime way before this. You know, how did Mordecai and them get into Susa? And it wasn't probably from Nebuchadnezzar. They were probably there from the Assyrian king. So you start thinking of all these characters. You got the book of Daniel, you got the book of Esther and Nehemiah, which you got Nehemiah, you got Mordecai. But they're all at the same time period. And this is all around a 70-year time period where they're going to be cast out of Jerusalem, and then they're going to come back and rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. It's all this time frame. So that's where Nebuchadnezzar comes in. Okay, and then we go into Jehoiachin, which is 39:9. 8 years old was Jehoiachin when he began to reign, and 3 months and 10 days reigned he in Jerusalem, and he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. He's 8 years old. I mean, so the people just aren't changing.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting the message when your kings are being dragged off and being conquered, and they don't realize it's because Yahweh has left you. Why? Because of what you're doing. Now we go to Zedekiah, which is 11:12. 21 years old was Zedekiah when he began to reign. 11 year reigned he in Jerusalem. He did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, his Elohim. He humbled not himself before who?
Jeremiah.
The prophet from the mouth of who?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yo.
No, it's Yahweh.
Yeah.
From the mouth of Yahweh. So where does the scripture come from? The mouth of Yahweh. Very simply. That sets us up now for the book of Jeremiah. That was all the prep work. So now we go to Jeremiah 7:57. Chapter 36, verse 1-4. And this is Jehoiakim. These are the people he is having to talk to. So think of that. He's going to talk to Josiah, Joash, to Jehoiakim, to Jehoiachin, and to Zedekiah. So that's your prophet, that's your job. These are the men you're going to be talking to. 36, verse 1 through 4. Okay, Esther, why don't you read 1 through 3?
Okay. And it came to pass in the 4th year of Zedekiah, son of
Josiah,
king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, take thee a scroll and write therein all the words which I have spoken unto thee concerning Israel, and concerning Judah, and concerning all the nations, from the day I began to speak unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even till this day. Peradventure the house of Judah will hearken to all
calamity
which I am devising to execute against them, to the end they may return every man from his wicked way, whereupon I will forgive their iniquity and their sin.
Isn't that great? So Yahweh is trying to give them a way out. And actually he says, you haven't kept your Sabbaths. You know, for I don't know how many years, probably from Manasseh on, you know, Josiah did a Passover, which is great. And so there's going to be 70 years of rest on the land. And that's paying what you didn't do. And so when they were supposed to go into the land of Canaan, they went 40 days and freaked out. And so the penalty was 40 years. All right. Of not going into the land of Canaan. So this 70-day was the rest for the land. That's 70 Sabbaths is what it comes down to. And so he's telling people to surrender. Yeah. You're gone. So Jeremiah all the way through here is saying, surrender to the king of Babylon. I have put him in charge. He's Nebuchadnezzar. Surrender to him. And that starts with Jehoiakim. It's a done deal. You can't get out of this. And this is the fight where we're not going to take that. We're not going to take that. We're not going to take it. We're not going to believe that. So, verse 4. So Jeremiah called Barak, son of Neriah, and Barak wrote from the mouth of who?
Now,
this is great. Where does scripture come from?
Yahweh.
Now, watch this. Who did the writing?
Baruch.
Where did the words come from?
Jeremiah.
And where did those words come from?
Yahweh.
Oh, so that's how scripture is given. Very simple. Yahweh to the prophet, to the scribe. Very simple. Which he has spoken unto him upon a scroll. Now we go to verse 19. And when the princes, whenever you see the princes, that's like for ruler. These are important people. So the 12 spies, these were not spies that we think of, but they were all princes. They're all leaders of their tribes. So these are the princes. When they hear that, what Jeremiah's read, they say, get out of town, go hide, and we're going to go give this to the king. And this is the king of Jehoiakim. We're going to give it to the king and see what he does with it. So in verses 19 to 25, then said the prince unto Barak, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you are. And what do you want to read, 20 to 25?
Then went they in unto the king, into the court. But the roll had they put in charge in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. So they declared in the ears of the king all the words. The king, therefore, sent Yehudi to fetch the roll, and he fetched it out of the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. And Yehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes who were standing near the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with the fire stove before him burning. So then it came to pass when Yehudi had read three or four columns that he cut it up into fragments with a scribe's knife and cast them into the fire that was in the stove until all the roll was consumed on the fire that was on the stove.
That's what it's attempting to do today. That's the adversary, always his purpose. And that's where communism comes in, is to get rid of the word of Yahweh.
Okay. Yet were they not in dread, neither rent they their garments, the king nor any of the servants that were hearing all these words. Do I read 25?
Yeah, go ahead, 25.
Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah interceded with the king not to burn the robe, but he hearkened not unto them.
So this is the environment that Jeremiah is in. And then guess who he wants to find? Jeremiah. Who's the guy who wrote this? Why don't you go find them for me? I want to talk to him. And so, you have words, we all have words to give to our family members. We're not going to like it. You know, if they're in sin, we need to present that sin to them. And are they going to like it? No. And so most people, what they've done is, they've forgone that duty. They have not been Christ's hands, feet, and mouth. Did Christ deliver messages that were unpopular?
No, that didn't. Yes.
Yeah. Was he polarizing? Mm-hmm. You know, people keep thinking, peace, peace, peace. Christ was polarizing. You either loved him or you what? Hate him. And religious people really hated him. Now, actually, the governors, probably the Gentiles, probably like him. You know, because he's keeping peace. He's telling people to obey the laws of the kingdom, which is good. And he's healing people, which is good. Why would I want that? They pay taxes. That's good. I mean, everything's on it. But it's the religious people who are a problem. And that's the seed that's in our society. That's the same way with Jeremiah. Now we go to Zedekiah. So remember, Jehoiakim gets taken off and carried off into Babylon. Probably with Daniel and everybody else. So now we got Zechariah, which is...
Zechariah or Zedekiah?
No, Zedekiah. I'm sorry, I always say Zechariah. 21:7-37. It's Jeremiah chapter 21.
Is that the king that...
This is the last one before Judah's gone.
You said Zedekiah. 21?
Yeah, chapter 21 of Jeremiah.
He's the guy that had his name changed by Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah, all these guys had their name changed. Yes. Zedekiah is very interesting. One this commentator said, you know, Jehoiakim is just evil. Zedekiah keeps coming to counsel, and this is so much, tries to get counsel from Yahweh through Jeremiah. The difference is he just doesn't listen to it. He wants it, but he will not do, because he can't believe, you know, actually acting to go through with, and with a lot of us, you know, it could be the same situation. Where all of a sudden he says, I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to prophesy. Because that's just not going to happen. Right? I mean, that's what, Yahweh wants you to. We say that to pastors. Well, I'm not going to. Wow. I mean, really? I mean, that's what Zedekiah was doing with Jeremiah. But he came asking, Yahweh, I'm your servant. I'll die for you. Jesus, I'll die for you. Well, speak in tongues. Well, I can't do that, but I'll die for you. How about prophesying? Well, no, I can't do that either, because I'll be one of these Assemblies of God people. I'll die for you. Right?
It's like a Meatloaf song.
I mean, is that something wrong with this? But I'll die for you. well, let's reject the Trinity. No, I can't do that either. I can't do anything against the traditions of my fathers. And we're going to see Zedekiah in the same situation. 21 verses 1 through 10. Now, here he comes. The word which came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, son of all these other guys, the priests, saying, inquire for us, I pray thee, of Yahweh. You know, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is ruling everything. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are really stewards. I put you in charge. Bring the stuff to me. Don't rebel against me. And Zedekiah is rebelling. Inquire for us, I pray thee, of Yahweh, and that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. Preadventure, Yahweh will deal with us according to all his wonders, so that he may go up from us. So he's trying to say, we're going to overcome the king of Babylon. And Jeremiah from the beginning was saying, no, it's a 70-year captivity. It's 70 years. And people are like, you're blasphemy. You're blasphemy. We're not going to lose this war. We're not going to lose this war because we got Yahweh on our side. No. It's 70 years. It's done. Then said Jeremiah unto them, thus shall you say unto Zedekiah, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold me, turning back the weapons of war that are in your hand, wherewith ye are fighting the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans, who are besieging you outside the wall, and I will gather them into the midst of this city. You're going to lose. And so these are hard words. And I myself will fight against who?
You.
Why? Because you're wicked. You're actually wickeder than the king of Babylon. He's my servant. And actually, he's probably going to save the Hebrews, which he did with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He put them in high positions. You know, would these guys have done it? No, they wouldn't have. And I myself will fight against you with a hand outstretched, and with an arm of strength, and with anger, and with wrath, and with great indignation, and I will smite the inhabitants of the city, both man and beast, of great pestilence shall they die. And after that, declared Yahweh, will I deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, even as such as are left in this city, from the pestilence. Would you like to deliver this message to your king?
No.
You're going to lose.
Yeah. Not only that, you're going to be slave king. And all you got, from the sword and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, even unto the hand of their enemies, into the hand of them who are seeking their life, and he will smite them with the edge of the sword. He will not have pity on them, nor will he spare, nor will he have compassion. So there, the story. That's just story one. Now we go to 37:18 of Jeremiah. We'll be standing in Jeremiah 37:18. Now, we've got to remember, too, Jeremiah is not in chronological order. And so it will put Zedekiah before Jehoiakim. So when you read it, 37. The book of Revelation is like that, too. They're not in chronological order. 37, verse 18 to 21, Isaiah, you do that?
18 through what?
37, verse 18 through 21.
And Jeremiah said unto King
Zedekiah,
what sin have I committed against thee, or thy servants, or against thy people, that thee have delivered me up into prison?
Where is Jeremiah?
In prison.
In prison. But Yahweh said, I'm going to protect you, right? Mm-hmm. To begin. Yeah, but yeah, so sometimes that's part of the job. Okay, it means you haven't failed. You know, but go ahead. 19.
Where are you prophets? What
prophesied?
Prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land. Now therefore, here I beseech thee, O my Lord the King, let me
supplication.
Let my supplication, I pray thee, fall
prostrate
before thee, and do not cause me to return unto the house of
Jonathan
the scribe, that lest I die there.
And he's afraid he's going to die in his prison. Mm-hmm. And 21.
Then King Zedekiah gave command, and they committed Jeremiah
unto the guard court, and they said there should be given him a cake of bread daily out of the baker's street until the bread of the city should be spent. So Jeremiah remained in the guard's court.
There you go. That's my job. And guess what? There's a siege on the city, so there's famine. There's no food. It's drying up.
So now prisoners eat first, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 38 verse 6. Things are going to get worse for Jeremiah. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. Now these are the princes. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, son of the king, which was in the guardhouse, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes down in the dungeon. And the dungeon is the word for cistern. So a cistern was a big tank to collect rainwater. And obviously, if you have a drought, you don't have any more rainwater. You just have a sludge in the bottom. And that's where they're putting him. Now in the dungeon was no water, only mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now look at this. I mean, this is your job. Wow. When Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, what color would he be?
Black.
Black, because that's African. One of the eunuchs, what was also missing from him? Elijah.
Two things.
What's a eunuch?
I don't know.
It's a man who's been castrated. His testicles have been cut off. And why they do this, if you're ever with any women around the king's wives, and that's what Daniel was. Daniel was a eunuch. Shadrach, not by choice. When you're taken captive, you're going to work in the king's place with all the women, so we're cutting your testicles off. So this way you can't have children, and you can't have sexual relationship with these women. And so these guys are eunuchs.
Make them cross your legs?
Yeah. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, he being in the house of the king, heard that they had delivered Jeremiah into the dungeon, the king being seated in the gate of Benjamin, then went forth Ebed-Melech out of the house of the king and spake of the king, saying, this is great. This guy's going to bat. O Lord, O King, wickedly have these men done all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom indeed they have cast into the dungeon, since he would have died where he was because of the famine, for there is no bread any longer in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take with thee from thence 30 men, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So see, Zedekiah was just weak. It's like, he's going to help Jeremiah, but he's weak, and you're going to know people in their life. They can't stand under peer pressure. And so, Jehoiakim is evil, Zedekiah is just weak. Have you ever known people like that? When they get tempted, they just can't speak up, they just won't make a stand, and, you know, people are going to hate me, so they just go with the flow. So, verse 11, we don't want to be that kind of person. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence pieces of cast-off cloth of old rags and let them down into Jeremiah in the dungeon with the ropes. So obviously it's deep enough. Then said Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian unto Jeremiah, Put, I pray thee, the piece of cast-off clothes on the old rags under thy joints under the rope. And Jeremiah did so. Then drew they Jeremiah with the ropes and lifted him up out of the dungeon. You know, they did this to Jeremiah. Who is he representing?
Yahweh.
This is what they thought about Yahweh.
Yeah.
And think of that. And these are the Christians. You know, these are the holy people. Wow. They do that to Christ? Yeah, they even do worse. Kill him. Crucify him. Then it goes on, but it will show you that he saved him. Now watch, in 17, now look at 16. So here comes Zedekiah. God, if we would just do, even it looks like it's the wrong thing to do, if we would do what Yahweh says, it's the best road. 16, so then King Zedekiah swore unto Jeremiah secretly, saying, by the life of Yahweh who made for us this soul, I will no wise put thee to death, neither will I deliver thee into the hands of these men who are seeking thy soul or life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, Elohim of Israel, If thou wilt indeed go forth into the prince of the king of Babylon, then shall thy own soul live. So here he is, surrender. Open the gate, surrender. And this city shall not be burnt with fire, but thou shalt live, thou and thy house. Wow, this is the word of Yahweh. You're going to live. That's not how this ends. But if thou wilt not go forth into the prince of the king of Babylon, then shall this city be delivered into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hands. Then said King Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Here's the thing. I am what?
Afraid.
Afraid of who?
The Jews.
Yahweh? No, of the Jews who have fallen away unto the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they maltreat me. And so, but Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver. Guys, I mean, what else better promise you can have? You have to say, and that's the word of revelation that we get today. I mean, a prophet, but Yahweh is going to do this. And boy, this looks contrary to my self-interest. And that really comes down to, we're always looking at our self-interest. Am I going to prosper on this? No, you're not going to prosper. You're going to get beat up. But you're not going to die. That's the good news. And I'm going to reward you big time. But at the moment, you're going to go through a big fight. Wow.
Losing battle, huh?
There's a good movie on tonight, I think. And so maybe, can I just go to the movie instead? So we think about all
that. Basketball.
Yeah. Okay, 39, verse 6 through 18. If somebody wants to read that.
I will. 6 through 18.
Yeah.
So the king. Oh, go ahead.
Here's what happens when you don't listen to Yahweh. 6 through 18.
And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and all the nobles of Judah did the king of Babylon slay. And in the eyes of Zedekiah did he put out and bound him with fetters of bronze to bring him into Babylon. And in the house of the king and the houses of the people did the Chaldeans burn with fire, and the walls of Jerusalem break they down. And the remnant of the people who were left in the city, and the disheartened who fell away unto him, and the remnant of the people who were left, did Nebuchadnezzar, chief of the royal executioners, take captive to Babylon. But of the poor people who had nothing,
who was that there?
Nebuzaradan.
Thank you. Nebuzaradan, chief of the royal executioners, leave remaining in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and plowed fields on the same day.
We'll stop there. We're kind of running out of time. But if you look over here on verse 15, guess who gets a good word? Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian that helped him. Yeah. He gets his life. So Yahweh gives him a prophecy. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is why fellowship and being around believers is so absolutely important, because they can give you a word, or you can facilitate a word, and possibly divert disasters.
Yeah.
That if you get around darkness, you start hanging around darkness, or you start, you know, hanging about themselves, sometimes the connection is cut off, and all of a sudden, you know, we had a couple who came to fellowship for a period of time, and last night, their son killed himself with it, 12 years old, with a gun, by accident or whatever, but you thought, could that have been avoided? Could the revelation could have been there, possibly? Maybe there's nothing could have happened, but the boy's dead. He's 12 years old. And I thought, now how serious is it when you don't stay in the Word? I don't know if they're in the Word or not, but I bet you they're not. You know, could this whole, how many things in our lives have been avoided in catastrophe, and we didn't even know it because we were walking with the Yahweh? But when you get off and say, well, I can go do this, and I can do this, and I really don't need this, you know, the rest of the world's getting along fine without it, that can be happening. You know, and I thought, my goodness, the price that some people pay. So I just wrote to the Democratic senators in the House of Representatives who are in the state of Kansas, and pleading with them, because you're breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. And maybe to you, you're getting wined and dined, and looks like it's paying off pretty good. But how about your wife and your children when they come up with a disease or an illness, and when you start having to pray to Yahweh for deliverance? How's that going to work out when Yahweh's not going to hear what you have to say?
Yeah.
Now, you better quit thinking about yourself. Last chance before you start doing this wickedness under the guise of Christianity, that it's all right, because it's not all right. And you're not the only one going to suffer. Your whole family can suffer. And catastrophe, like with Zedekiah, he was given warning, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And he didn't take it. Eyes put out. Before his eyes were put out, what happened to his kids? They were murdered right in front of his eyes because of him. Because he did not listen to Yahweh. Their lives are upon him. And then your eyes are put out. Wow. All avoidable. Let's see here. But that's about the Ethiopian, so that's a great thing. We're about running out of time.
Was it a good prophecy about the Ethiopian?
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, that's verse 15 to 18. He gets his life. And so to be written in the Word of Yahweh is really cool. You know, most apostles didn't even get a line. I mean, when you think about it. And so this Ethiopian, by standing up, got life, and we're going to get to meet him.
Yeah.
Ebed-Melek.
Ebed means son of?
Melek is king.
King.
Son of father.
Right. He might be son of king.
Son of the king. Son of king.
We're kind of running out of time, and so I'm going to give you the verses. Jeremiah, then, they're all taken captive, and the executioner says, Jeremiah, what do you want? And so Nebuchadnezzar was great, took Jeremiah out of prison. And so that's the unbeliever taking the Christian out of prison. Who the Christians put him there?
That's what Trump's doing now.
What Trump's doing. Yeah, really good example.
He appointed Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Took a Christian. There you go.
And then he said, the land's yours, they're going to stay there. He put a person in charge. The people, and you know, a band of people came and killed the person who was in charge. And so the Jews were saying, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's going to find out and kill us all. All right, what does Yahweh got to say? And so this is, we don't have to go there, but that's Jeremiah 42, chapter 42 and 43. And they said, go find out what Yahweh says. We'll go to 43, verse 1 and 3. The end of it. And whatever Yahweh says, we will do. And Yahweh says, they will say, let's go to Egypt, flee to Egypt from Nebuchadnezzar, once he finds out. And Yahweh says, don't flee to Egypt, stay here. Remember, they said, whatever Yahweh says, we'll do. Right? 43, verse 1. And that's page 764. And it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of Yahweh their Elohim, with Yahweh their Elohim has sent unto them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, son of all these people, saying unto Jeremiah, falsely art thou speaking. Yahweh our Elohim hath not sent thee to say, you shall not enter Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak son of Neriah is goading thee on against us, that he may deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans to put us to death, to take away captive to Babylon. So it is just the opposite. And guess who they took with them? Kidnapped. They took Jeremiah with him to Egypt. Now, so this is Jeremiah's course. All right, so this is how he ends up in Egypt. And so, we finish up in the book of Lamentation, the next book over.
That sounds happy.
Jeremiah, Lamentations. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. That's page 779. Lamentations, a very, very sad book. The very poetic. 1:1. How is seated alone the city that abound with people hath become as a widow. She who abound among the nations was a princess among provinces hath come under tribute. And then it goes on and on and on. Let's just see how it ends up. Jeremiah. Chapter 5, verse 19. Thou, O Yahweh, unto times age abiding does remain, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore shouldst thou perpetually forget us, forsake us to length of days? Bring us back, O Yahweh, unto thyself, and we will come back. Renew our days as of old. Now listen to this line. For though thou hast not utterly rejected us, thou art wroth with us exceedingly. little understatement.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought, what a man, Jeremiah, to go through all this. So we'll end there.